My Charisma Shop is your source for Spirit-filled books, Bibles, and devotionals. Our store will help you find the books and resources that you need to be the best you that God has purposed for you to be. Visit MyCharismaShop.com to see the full catalog of content to help you live your life by God's divine design and take advantage of these great deals today. Well, this is John Matarazzo for Charisma News, and I have a very special guest to share her amazing miracle story. Abigail Holt Jennings is with me today. She was a contestant for the Miss America pageant. She actually represented Georgia, and she's had an amazing experience after that where she's going to tell us about this healing testimony that God brought her through. So, Abigail, welcome to the Charisma News podcast, the Miracle Series.
Thank you, John. I'm so excited to be here. You know, it's just one of my favorite stories to tell. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So let's dive right into this, Abigail. What was it that happened to you? Kind of let's give us this backstory and how bad things got.
Yeah. So several years ago, I've always been into health and wellness and fitness. I've always loved the Lord. I've always done full-time ministry, but just really began to dive into health and fitness, and was a leader in my community, you know, did boot camps, all kinds of things like that. And my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I walked her through that and then began to just kind of feel off myself, you know, just did not feel my normal self. My energy levels were down, you know, all kinds of different stuff. And so I had always really kind of had a heightened awareness to cancer and things because I lost my dad when I was 16 to cancer and he was just 48. And so young, you know, so I really tried to take extra precautions myself. And then when my mom got breast cancer, you know, of course we were all just rocked by that and then helped her through that. And then, got the diagnosis myself that I had breast cancer. I just was shocked by it. Everybody in the community was shocked, you know.
And how old were you at this time?
So I was 41 at the time. So that's when I had come down and it had merged with Bethel right there in Atlanta and was doing some ministry with them, some counseling with them. Mm-hmm. And so in that journey, the Lord began to really speak to me about what he had to say, you know, about this diagnosis. And it really plunged me into a deeper walk with him because the diagnosis was not good. It was not good at all, John. And the tumor was very large. You could see it outside of my body.
Wow.
And so I ended up going through a full mastectomy and all the things that come with that. And, but in that time, there would be different things that would happen. Like, when I was first diagnosed, I remember I was sitting in the room with the oncologist and, you know, he looked at me and said, this is what this is, you know, this is breast cancer. And I even had even after the mastectomy and all that, I had a recurrence that had come back, in my lungs and my clavicle. And that was really the scariest because my dad had died of lung cancer, but he was not a smoker, John. So it had spread, you know, to the lungs. And so when I heard that, it was like, you know, which I've got a lot to say about that because the Lord began to teach me about fear and, you know, all these kind of things that we really live our life. We live our life in two realms. You know, we can live our life in fear or we can live our life in faith. You know, and in the kingdom realm, the twain do not meet. They do not meet, you know, the Lord does not do a dance with us like that.
Right.
And so when it came back and I'm sitting there in the oncologist's office and he says, well, this is what we feared. It has come back. And he showed me the PET scan and it was like lit up like a Christmas tree. And he said, this is inoperable. Abigail, it's terminal and you will, I mean, he was so emphatic. I mean, he goes, you will die from this.
Wow. You're 41 at the time and you have two kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Homeschooling them. We have a big farm and chickens and pet pig, and I'm in a master's program and in ministry and just we're having the time of our lives, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he said that, and John, I cannot explain it, but I just had this open vision. Okay. It was very quick, but it was very real. And in that moment, I could see in the spirit, like the Grim Reaper walk in the room. You know, we've talked about this, and I knew it was like the Grim Reaper, like, hey, I took your dad out, you know, and I've got a right to be here. You know, I'm going to take you out. And so, like, this Grim Reaper of just like fear and death and prognosis and all that is like staring at me. But then I will never forget this as long as I live. Jesus walks into the room and he doesn't say anything to the Grim Reaper. He doesn't acknowledge the Grim Reaper. He just looks right at me. And all he asked me is a question. He doesn't come with a box of Kleenex, John. He doesn't put his arm around me. I mean, the healer himself is not worried about this problem. And he looks right at me and he says, but who do you say that I am? That's all he asked me. And I was like, oh, you weren't even like, you're not worried about this at all. And there was something in me like this, call it desperation, call it whatever. I think that, you know, the Lord, it says that he is near to the brokenhearted. I think there is something beautiful about our desperateness for our Father, right? Our desperateness to hear his voice. I think if we move away from that, John, we are lost. We are lost. You know, David himself says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, you know, and in a world and a society right now that I feel is fighting and vying for our ears and our eyes and our affection. And, you know, we have to fight and discipline ourselves now more than ever to quiet our soul and live by that still small voice, you know, because Jesus himself, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is how we must live our life, you know? And I tell you, I don't know why God in his kindness made these things so real to me. I'm so grateful he did, but I literally had to live off of what he said because there was nothing in the natural that was echoing what heaven was saying about my situation, nothing. So that was that. And I remember I left and I had a few girlfriends with me and I just dried my eyes. And really I did not give in to that fear because believe me, it was trying to just strangle me out. Right. And we left and I think we got ice cream or something. It was, you know, and I didn't say anything about what I had seen. I just kind of pondered it in my heart. And so after that, I remember I had to wait. They had sent off, the tumor was very big and they had sent it off to get what's called an Oncotype score. And by that number that comes back, they determine whether you need chemotherapy or whatever. But something inside of me, like I knew it was around Christmas time. And at the time my daughter loved American Girl dolls. Okay. And I remember she came with me. I was sitting on the couch and she came and she had the magazine and she's like, well, Mama, maybe, you know, it's just so sad to me. Breast cancer is so prevalent that even there's an American Girl doll now with no hair. And
wow.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and she pointed to that doll, John, and she said, well, Mama, maybe I need to get this doll this year. John.
Wow. That broke your heart right there.
Oh my gosh. The Bible says that we don't have to ask God for more of his spirit that has already been given to us through the death, burial, and resurrection. He said, you have everything that pertains mm-hmm. to life and godliness. We already have the full measure of Christ within us, John. So mm-hmm. if I ask him for more faith, I'm really asking erroneously, because he says you have the faith of God, right? And so in that moment, it was people go, well, how do you have such strong faith? John, I am not strong, okay? I am the weakest of weak, okay? But what I do is choose to throw all of that weakness, to hurl all of that weakness into the strength of Christ, right? Like, yeah. I'm fully aware that I house this treasure in an earthen vessel, a mm-hmm. really earthy earthen vessel, and a flawed one at that, right? And so, but when she said that to me, she said, Mama, I guess I need to get this one. John, that the faith of God, see, not me, not here. We're talking about mm-hmm. the faith of God rose up in me. And I said, babe, you absolutely will not have to do that. You get the one with the most amount of hair on that head. You choose the one you want. And pretty soon after that, when that Anka score came back, I love to sit on my porch. That's really where I spent a lot of time with the Lord. And that morning when I woke up, you know, we must pay attention. Do you ever wake up and you hear like a worship song, or you hear a song being sung in your heart? You know, I feel like we really need to pay attention to those, because the Bible says that he sings songs of deliverance over us in the night. And so if we're waking up and a scripture is on our heart, or we're waking up in a song, man, it is time to, like, all systems need to align to what he's saying, because he's been singing that truth over us, right? Mm-hmm. And we can join in. Mm-hmm. And so that morning I woke up to that song, Take Courage by Kristen DeMarco.
Remember? Oh, I love that.
And isn't that beautiful? And mm-hmm. she says, take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. And in that moment, I just felt the Lord said, I'm in the waiting. Just abide with me. I'm in the waiting. And I knew, I was like, I will not have to do chemotherapy. I will not have to do that. And sure enough, the Oncotype score comes back and they're like, well, we don't really say this, but you don't need chemotherapy and you don't need radiation, you know? And so it was kind of like, okay, well, what do we do? And so after that, they did another PET scan a few months later, and it was not good. You know, it was just not good. There was a lot of things lighting up as well. And we talked about this before. That is when I went out of the country. Okay. Mm-hmm. I went to see a doctor friend of mine in the Dominican Republic and, you know, got a few vitamin C IV infusions, just kind of got away. You know, she said, I want to see the PET scans. And I remember her looking at the PET scan, sitting out by their pool in the Dominican, and the look on her face was not comforting, to say the least. And I knew that she was trying to hide that from me. So at that point, you're like, Father, my life is in your hands, right? Like, what do you say? What are you saying about this? And so one of the last nights I was there, I got up in the middle of the night, and I knew I had a couple more nights there, and I knew that I had not gotten what I came for. I can't explain it. I just knew that I had not gotten what I came for, and I wasn't going to get it from her, right? I knew something was supposed to take place. So in the middle of the night, I went outside and I got alone with the Lord, you know? And I think when we really need to hear from him, we must quiet our soul, right? You know, especially I'm a mental health therapist. So people come to me, you know, I've got anxiety, my anxiety. And I'm like, number one, stop saying it's yours. Okay. Cause really the root of anxiety is fear. Okay. And God's not giving you a spirit of fear. Okay. So stop saying it's yours. And number two, how do you quiet your soul, right? Like, how do you quiet those voices in your head, those racing thoughts in your head? You know, I believe it's only done by communion with the Lord and the Word of God. And there were times mm-hmm. for me to quiet those racing voices and thoughts, John, I would have to walk my driveway very loudly speaking the Psalms, right? To just quiet, you know, my soul to line up with the truth. And so, So that night I got alone with the Lord out there and I just said, God, I've got to hear from you. I have got to hear from you. Am I going to live or am I going to die? You know, I know you're not done with my life. You know, what do you say? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you and I have talked about this before, and that is when I had the encounter with Jesus, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Cause that sticks with me. And yeah. I think about that all the time. So I want to hear you tell it again to this audience, because they're going to be blown away by what Jesus told you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so wild and so beautiful. And again, in that moment, I mean, you know, you and I, we've done a couple things together. You know, I'm not this spiritual giant that has visions all the time. Okay. I'm just, but I think we can give the Lord an opportunity to speak to us when we quiet all the other voices. Okay. And in that moment, I was determined to hear from the Lord. And so I was just, you know, walking and praying and all of a sudden, again, my spirit eyes were opened and I saw him. And what I had done was I had started like, okay, well, why did this cancer come back? Like, you know, who do I need to forgive and who do I want to, so I'm going down my own, like, self checklist, okay? Mm-hmm. Trying to get healing on my own terms. I didn't really know that's what I was doing, but that's what I was trying to do. And so my eyes were open and I saw myself like in this prison, but the door was open, but I was the one walking back and forth and just, well, okay, let me just, I'm gonna forgive this person again, you know, and did I do this and did I do that? And I'm kind of just walking back and forth, like mentally just beating myself up. And I can sense the presence of Jesus on that pool deck. Now, this is going to sound crazy. Yeah, I don't really care. But I saw him with my spirit eyes and he was like propped up, laying on the pool deck. And he was propped up on his elbow and he was twiddling his fingers on the pool deck, just watching me. And I'm like, what is happening right now? Okay. I am over here in a crisis, Jesus. And you are over here twiddling your fingers on the pool deck. And I was like, you know, I'm over there. He's over here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And he's like, Abigail, I don't really, basically he was like, I don't know what you're doing over there. He's like, I forgave you of that a long time ago. I have no recollection of what you're talking about over there. And it was like, he was like, hey, why don't you come out of that own mental prison? I'm not going to go over there and get you because I actually freed you a long time ago, right? So I'm going to let you walk yourself out of the freedom I already gave you because I'm actually not even here to even have that conversation with you. I'd like to take a walk with you. And John, I'll never forget, like, he didn't, right? He's the way, truth, and life. And I think sometimes when we pray, it's like what Pastor Bill Johnson says. If you go into your prayer closet and you come out heavier than when you went in, you did not pray. You complained. Because his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And so so I remember I was like, well, he's not in this prison. Why the heck am I here? So I walk myself out and he's like, I'd like to take a walk with you. So we start walking. He doesn't say anything about what just happened, about my mental torment, none of it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we start walking and the terrain changes. And we're like walking on a dusty road. Well, I recognize where we are because I did a study tour to Israel in college at Lee. And I'm like, we're in Israel. Okay, well, I have no idea what we're doing. I'm just walking with him, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're walking and we walk up to the cross. And he's hanging on the cross. And he said to me, Abigail, you have always done real well about appropriating my blood in your life. Now, this was definitely his words because I don't use the word appropriating. And he said, I knew what he was trying to say. He was trying to say, you've done real well about like believing in my death, my blood for your sins. That, right. But then he said, but there's more. Okay. Mm. And so we walked beyond the cross and I see us approaching the empty tomb. Now here's the thing. And it sounds so great, like theologically, like, you know, we sing about the cross, the cross, I'm a wretch and the cross, you know,
right.
It's, if we stop at the cross, then it's like Kenneth Hagin says, we stop at a bloody bath of sin. Right. Mm. The cross was a place where sin was dealt with, where murder happened, where death was came. But if we stop there and we don't walk on through to newness of life, and we don't take a hold of everything that his resurrected life gave us, John, then what are we doing? What are we doing? And so that's what you're trying to tell me. Like, because I've always been like, oh God, forgive me of my sins. But I've been very sin conscious, right? Mm-hmm. And Paul says, that's why Paul had his great revelation. He's like, it's you have to be Christ conscious. You have to get out of that sin conscious mentality, right? So I'm walking to the tomb. He's walking to the tomb. And we walk into the entrance of the tomb. And there he is laying in the tomb, John. And he says, Abigail, do you see me laying there? And I said, yes, Jesus, I do. And he said, watch this. And he sat up. And he looked at me and he said, did you see me sit up? And I said, yes, Jesus, I did. And he looked at me so intently, John. And he said, Abigail, when I sat up, you sat up. And then he swung his legs around and he stood up. And he said, did you see me stand up? And I said, yes, Jesus, I did. And he said, Abigail, when I stood up, you stood up. Mm-hmm. And then he walked to the entrance of the tomb and he looked at me over his left shoulder. And I still remember his silhouette in the entrance of the tomb with the bright morning light coming through. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me over his left shoulder and he said, I'm about to walk out of this tomb, Abigail. He said, when I walked out of the tomb, was I depressed? And I said, no, Jesus, you weren't. And he said, again, that intent, sincere, do not have words to describe the kind of love that wanted me to get it, that wanted me wanted the world to get it. You know, mm-hmm. He said, you know, was I depressed when I walked out of the tomb? I said, no, Jesus. And he said, does anyone have to suffer from depression? And I said, no, Jesus, they don't. And he said, when I walked out of the tomb, was there cancer in my lungs? And I said, no, Jesus, there wasn't. And John, that same intent for the whole world look. So does there have to be cancer in your lungs, Abigail? Mm. And I said, no, Jesus, there doesn't. And that was it. The dream ended. Mm. And I'm standing there and I have this ring of keys in my hand. And I knew what they were. It's like, go and share and help others be liberated with, I've loved him all my life, John, but appropriating his resurrection, the resurrection life of Jesus, right? And that it's the whole Romans 8:11, the same spirit in same fullness and in same measure. Our faith takes a piece, like a cup measure, right? Like I'll give the illustration of like, here's, you know, Christ's fullness and a cup measure. And we take a tablespoon out. Well, I'll take, no, that's not what he said. The same spirit in same measure and in same fullness that dwelt in Jesus dwells in you and quickens or makes alive your mortal body. Now you can exegete that all day long, that you can all day long till the cows come home, but it's your fleshly mortal body. Signs and wonders, that is how we are a sign and a wonder in the earth, that he makes alive, quickens our mortal body. Vision ends. I come home. A PET scan was already on the books. And I remember the morning I woke up with a PET scan. And when I woke up, I just simply heard him say, good morning, this is the glory scan. Hmm. That's what he said. Good morning, this is the glory scan.
The glory scan. Wow.
Yep. I go. I get in the tube. Not a pleasant experience for those of you that have done PET scans, you know, and I just sang in it to like, okay, this is the evidence scan. Here we go. All I can do is believe what you've told me, right? Like that's all I can do is believe what you've told me, because I've done it my way. And when I believe kind of what he says, but mostly what I say, then there's fear, anxiety. And so do the scan. That afternoon, I go to pick up my kids in the homeschool car pickup line and the nurse calls. And I said, and she said, well, Miss Jennings, and she's like fumbling over her words. She's like, I don't really know what to say here. She said, there's nothing here. Everything's gone. Yeah.
And you used the description earlier that you were like a Christmas tree. It was all lit up. And now she's saying that there's nothing there. Wow. Wow.
That's correct. That's correct. Now, you know, this is what's interesting. And it has stayed that way for all these years. Now, John, I'm about to throw you a curveball. And I've been praying about this all morning and just wondering. But here's the deal. The story hasn't changed. When we walk with the Lord, we always have a choice to hear what he's saying and believe it and walk that truth out, or decide that the wind and the waves is too big for us, right? Mm-hmm. And let that determine our course of action. That has been my miraculous story for how many years, right? I travel and get the joy of speaking and teaching and sharing that Girl of Hope, my ministry website. People call in. Sometimes they have a diagnosis and they want to know how I walk through it. And I tell everybody the same thing. I am just a clinging, leaning daughter on her father. And if he says I can climb the tree, then I can climb the tree. Here's the deal, though. That story doesn't end. So all these years later that I've been able to walk that out and share that and be a testimony of that truth. This last October, out of the blue, I had three seizures. I woke up and I was in the hospital here in Tennessee with a team of physicians around me, shaking their head like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You have metastatic breast cancer in your brain. And in that moment, this is the deal. I don't know any other way but to walk in authenticity and truth. This is the way the Lord wants us to walk our life out. And I really wrestled with that, John. I'll be honest. And all morning I thought, am I going to share this on the podcast? But you know, I'm going to, for the sake of those that have heard something from the Lord and all of the facts around them have risen up in contradiction, right? Because this is the essence of faith. Faith is the substance of what we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. That sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it, John? It sounds like an oxymoron. And so this happened in October, and while everyone is preparing their meals for Thanksgiving, which is one of my favorite holidays to cook and cook and cook, I am laying on a table getting my brain radiated. When I sat back in ICU as they were trying to determine what exactly is this? There was no one to make the decision to drill into my brain but me. And I said, Lord, what do you say? What do we do? What do we do now, Lord? And I remember, John, having that conversation saying, okay, so you had me write the book. This has been my testimony all these years. Yeah, I'm a little embarrassed for you, Lord. I'm a little embarrassed. What would you like to do? Just being honest with him.
Right.
And
totally.
Right. And he wasn't upset with that. I felt like he had a good little chuckle with me. And he just said, I haven't changed my mind. Have you?
Wow.
And as I sat back there, and this brilliant neurosurgeon came in, brilliant. And he said, Abigail, do you really want to do this? He's like, this is very high risk. Like, you really want us to go into the brain. And I just knew I had this peace, like, yes, I want you to do this. And when he left and I'm sitting back there in the hospital gown, and because of COVID stuff, nobody could be with me, you know.
Right.
I said, Lord, here we are again. Another battle, right? Here we are. What do you say? And John, just as clear as I'm talking to you, he said, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. And I, the Lord, will establish peace in this place. So here I am, interestingly enough, having the realization that even my book, you know, The Conversation in Heaven, this is a conversation in heaven continued.
Yeah.
Right? This is the conversation in heaven continued. And there's been several scans and tests, and the doctors have been amazed. You know, but this is yet again another miracle unfolding. Mm-hmm. And you know, what do we do? What do we do when we feel like Elijah and no one can understand around us what we see? What do you do when you're in that process of, and he tells his servant, go again, go again, go again, right? He knows, story. Right? Me too. First Kings 18. And he knows the rain is coming. There's no evidence. There's no cloud in the sky, right? And I feel like even now in our country, in our lives, like this is a time more than ever that we've got to make our pure devotion and our commitment to our Lord be the greatest thing in our life, right? Like, not a YouTube thing, not this, not that, like where we cry out to God and say, God, whatever it takes, I must have your voice. I must hear your voice. I must walk with you. And this is one of those times, my friend, where I am clinging and leaning again into the conversation of heaven, you know, as this miracle unfolds again.
Yeah. And it will unfold again. I believe that because when Jesus got up, you got up. And when he left that tomb, he didn't have cancer. He didn't have depression. And neither do we need to have those things.
Right.
This is the point where I normally ask our guests to just to pray for our listeners. And I know you're walking through this right now. So I want to pray for you. And then would you pray for our listeners?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, Father God, we just thank you for Abby. Thank you for the testimony that you brought Abigail through. And God, the one that you're walking her through right now, God, I just pray that you would touch her, that you would give her more peace than she would know what to do with. God, I just thank you for her willingness to share this unfolding part of her testimony that is still in development right now. But God, I pray that in Jesus' name that you would just touch Abigail and that there would be just a complete and full healing. In the name of Jesus, amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I receive that. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. And Father, I just thank you for everyone listening, Lord, that all of us would be able to quiet any other voice that is not yours in our life. For those listening, just desperate, needing hope, maybe facing a scary diagnosis or believing for a loved one for healing or for their own deliverance from depression or anxiety or fear, whatever. Oh God, let us be able by the power of your Holy Spirit to press into the conversation in heaven over our own lives. You know, Jesus, you yourself hung on a cross for the joy that was set before you. You kept your eyes on the prize when to everyone else, even though you had told them for years, this is what's going to happen to me. This was, they didn't understand. They scattered. Everyone thought it was the end. It was the end. Oh, and it was only the beginning. Lord, when you were in that tomb, and the women came and they were weeping and waiting. They had no idea that the resurrected Lord was standing before them, that their victory had a voice, But then when you spoke and you address them by name, their eyes were opened and they knew it was you. Oh Lord, when so many other voices are trying to address us by name, God, let us quiet every single one, that your voice is the loudest one that we hear, and your voice is the one that we live our life by and through and for and in. Because this is the way that Jesus modeled. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Have your way in us, oh God. And let our lives reflect, come what may, pure devotion to our King. Not because of what you can do for us, not because of any of those things, but out of a love relationship and a devotion to the one who first loved us. We thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Abigail, thank you for praying for our listeners here. I know you have your book and your websites. Could you just tell people how to get a hold of you and find out more information and more details of your story through your book, The Conversation in Heaven?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'd love to. So you can get a hold of me through my website. It's girlofhope.com. I love to meet with people all over the world, literally walking through their own journey and trying to listen to the conversation in heaven. And so folks, I get the joy of doing what I call hope sessions with people from all over the world. You can read more about my book there, and you can find my book on Amazon, The Conversation in Heaven, Living Life's Ups and Downs Through Heaven's Lens. And if you're local, anywhere near Cleveland, Tennessee, give me a shout. I'd love to meet with you. And as always, John, it's just such a privilege and joy to be with you. Thank you again for having me on.
Thank you for being on the Charisma News Podcast, and thank you for sharing your story and what you're walking through right now. I think that really will encourage people to know that you can, you know, just because you were healed once doesn't mean that you don't need to keep seeking the Lord and, you know, walking with Him, and you can have more miracles. You're not limited to just one. Our God is a God of many, many miracles, and so we believe that for you right now, and I just want to thank you so much for being on the Charisma News Podcast.
Thanks, John. God bless you.
This has been John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast. God bless you.